This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Scott Moore, and it's time to talk sports here on AM 870 WKAR. Scott Moore from the Spartan Sports Network, doing a little unfamiliar duty here. Usually I'm in a hockey rink, but today I'm in this studio, and we've got a good show planned out for you. We will go open line eventually and talk about some of the hot stories on the day, but before we do that, we're going to start things off with the man of the hour, Jake Boss, the head baseball coach at Michigan State. Coach, thanks for taking a little bit of time out of a very busy schedule this week to visit with us.
My pleasure, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Well, Coach, I mentioned you are one of the busiest guys on campus. You just came off a big weekend, saw your team win 2 out of 3 over Illinois down in Champaign. You pulled into a third-place tie in the Big Ten race. What's your take on the way your team's playing right now coming down the stretch of the season?
Well, Scott, you know, it is a busy time of the year for us, and we're at Western Michigan today, getting ready to play the Broncos at 3 o'clock, and then we'll be at home again tomorrow. But, you know, it's a good time. It's a fun time of the year. You know, school's over, and it's all baseball for our guys right now. You know, we're at a point right now in the season where it's just a matter of staying sharp. And I like our guys a lot. You know, we've got a really talented group, and we're pretty deep on the mound. And as long as we can stay consistent offensively, I think we got a pretty good chance.
Well, your team has been playing pretty well here lately. They did the same thing last year where they played real well down the stretch and wound up in that first-place tie along with Illinois, ironically, for the Big Ten championship. Are there any comparisons between last year and this year that you can feel on your team?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we play good defense, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, kind of kept us where we're at. We're deeper on the mound this year. We probably lost a little bit of firepower off of last year's ball club with the Big Ten Player of the Year and the Big Ten Batting Champion both being gone. But but at the same time, that gives some younger guys a chance to, you know, earn their stripes a little bit, so to speak. And we've got some young guys that are starting to feel a lot more comfortable with college pitching right now. And so, you know, we're getting there. It is a different team, though. You know, we probably have more power than we had last year and not as much speed as a year ago. So it'll be a fun stretch run for us.
We're talking with MSU baseball coach Jake Boss. He's coming to us live from Kalamazoo, where the team will take on Western Michigan a little bit later on this afternoon. You talked about some of the young guys making an impact. Jimmy Pickens had a great weekend for you last weekend, went 6 for 12 with 7 RBI and 4 runs, and was named the co-freshman of the week in the Big Ten.
Well, Jimmy's a very talented kid, and he's really seeing the ball well right now. Had a great weekend for us, and you know, he's a big, strong left-handed hitter. Was drafted out of high school and decided to come to Michigan State, and you know, he's going to be a very, very good one here for us. And Ryan Krill's another freshman for us that's getting a lot of playing time at first base, and his batting average is if it's not over 300 now, it's pretty close. And coming from where he started the first month into the season, it's you know, it's a testament to his work ethic. So we've got a lot of young guys that are getting pretty comfortable, like I said, this time of the year. And the weather gets warm, you know, warmer at least now. It's going to be a fun time for them.
You know, I've seen some of the scores that your team has put up. You can put the ball in play, that's for sure.
Well, we do, and the key thing for us is, you know, taking advantage of those opportunities. And when we leave a lot of guys on base at you know, that can be a bit of a struggle for us, kind of getting that big hit. But, you know, it's almost like once that happens, you know, the rest of it kind of follows suit. And you know, hitting is contagious, we always say it. And you know, all it takes is usually, you know, one to kind of break the ice, and then the rest of it, the rest of them follow. So hopefully we can do that again today.
Well, we talked a little bit about the busy schedule. I mean, you guys are really going full bore. You had the 3 games in Champaign Friday, Saturday, Sunday, took yesterday off, got a game in Kalamazoo today, home tomorrow against Toledo, and then again on the weekend you're back at home against Iowa with Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Does that tax your pitching staff, or do you have enough arms in there that you can make it through that?
Well, I think, you know, finally this year we have enough arms where we feel pretty good about making through it. And you know, the past 3 years hasn't really been that way. But, you know, with transition and graduating some guys and getting some guys drafted and things like that, we finally got it to a point right now where we feel like we're pretty deep. We've got a good mix of youth and experience on the mound, and that gives us a chance, you know. And I think that's reflective of our record, you know, for midweek games. At least going into today, and hopefully it continues today. But you know, we played pretty well in the midweek games, and that's I think the direct result of the depth on the mound.
Now, you know, you mentioned the fact that classes are over. The guys get to just be baseball players for the next few weeks, and kind of almost like being a pro. And then next week, you get a taste of being a pro with the Clash at Comerica for the second year in a row.
Well, it's true, Scott. You know, it's a fun time of year for our guys because it is kind of a taste of pro baseball for them. And we'll practice on the days that we don't play. But there's a lot of games now. We try to take advantage of that so our guys aren't missing class. And that's one of the things about being a northern school is, you know, you do have to play, typically twice during the midweeks to get all your games in because we lose out on that opportunity early in the year. But guys would rather play than practice, and we'll have a neat experience next week down in Comerica Park. And that was something last year that we were able to do, and the Tigers really rolled out the red carpet for both us and Central Michigan and really treated us like their own. And it was a great experience for our guys, and we won the game, which even made it better, but something that our guys are never going to forget, that's for sure.
That is for sure. We're talking with Jake Boss, the head baseball coach at Michigan State University. Coach, one of the things that I've always wondered is, you know, you're down there at third base during the game, you're flashing the signs. How do signs work for people that haven't played baseball? How do you put these signs together, and how does a batter know which one is the sign you're asking for?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to do it. You know, sometimes there are programs that, you know, will pick a certain body part, and however many times you that body part, whether it's the arm or the hat or the ear, you know, gets touched is going to depend on what the play is. Or, you know, some teams use what's called an indicator, and so once you touch a certain spot, on your body, then the next sign is with live, and that's a different way to do it. I'm not going to tell you how we do it, Scott, because
I don't blame you.
Picking that up, there's a lot of different ways to do it, and each program does it differently, and there are times where we'll switch up what we're doing if we think the other team's got a handle on what we're trying to do, so. Yeah, a lot of different ways to do it.
Now, once these guys are done with the college season, how many of these guys that are on the team this year will go on and play in a summer league of some kind, especially like a wooden bat league like the Cape Cod League?
Well, the majority of our guys are going to play summer baseball. And we'll have a handful, four or five of them that are in the Cape Cod League, which is the best league in the country. And that's kind of the premier league for summer baseball. But then, you know, we've got guys going all over the place from South Carolina to Alaska and even Hawaii. And it's important that our guys go out and play and get another experience, you know, similar to that of pro ball. But, you know, it's really a good chance for them to work on something and get better. We'll have a few guys that may not play because of an injury or, you know, pitchers that have thrown a lot of innings for us, if it's an experienced guy, it may not be as important. But summer ball is an important part of what we do, and guys really need to, you know, use that and work hard to get better.
Yeah, I've seen that ballpark up in Fairbanks. It's right kitty corner from where we play hockey up there. I've never seen it without any snow all over it, though.
Well, that's a neat league because they, the sun doesn't set up in Alaska much this time of year and into the summer, and they do a big game up there. I think they gear it towards some charity, but that's they start at midnight, and mm-hmm. They don't turn the lights on.
Right.
And it's, they call it their midnight game, and just a neat experience for a kid to be a part of. And that's a good league. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of talent that goes up there to play, and our kid that's starting on the mound today against Western Michigan will go up there this summer.
Yeah, but Mark McGuire played up there one summer, I believe.
He did. You know, there's been a lot of guys in the big leagues that had that experience of playing in Alaska.
Well, Jake Boss, best of luck today in Kalamazoo against the Broncos, and then bring it on home, and we'll see you over at McLean Stadium tomorrow against Toledo.
Okay, Scott. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's Jake Boss, the head baseball coach at Michigan State University. As we mentioned, they'll be home tomorrow afternoon for a game against the Rockets of Toledo, and then home this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday against Iowa. They go down to Detroit to take on Central Michigan University next week, Wednesday at Comerica Park, and then they wrap up the regular season with three games against Penn State next weekend, all right here at home. So there's going to be a lot of chances to see this team play at McLean Baseball Stadium. And if you haven't been over to McLean Baseball Stadium yet, you're going to want to get over there because that is a neat place to watch a game. All kinds of little quirks to the field with the little hill out there in right field. And they do a great job of putting on a game over at Michigan State's McLean Baseball Stadium. It is now 1:16 p.m. on Tuesday afternoon. This is Sports Talk, and we are going to go open line for the next few minutes. So if you have a question or a comment or anything that's on your mind in the world of sports, we want you to call us up. The phone number is 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Scott Moore filling in for Earl Robinson. Aaron Young is here as well behind the other side of the glass. And some of the things that we wanted to talk about with you today, some of the things that I pulled out of the sports headlines, Cole Hamels has received a 5-game suspension for plunking Bryce Harper on Sunday in a game between the Phillies and the Washington Nationals. Interesting story, interesting situation on this. In case you missed it, Bryce Harper is a 19-year-old kid. He's just come up to the major league level for the first time in his life. I've got a friend who used to play for the Lansing Lugnuts who had commented on Facebook about whether he had actually earned his way up to the National League or not. He was only batting in the mid-200s in AAA and got the call up to the major league team, and he's been pretty good with the major league team since he arrived in D.C. But Cole Hamels, the veteran pitcher for the Phillies, decided to, as he said, give Bryce Harper a welcome to the majors moment on Sunday and drilled him in the small of the back. And then the thing that happened that really led to the suspension was after the game, he said, "Yeah, I meant to do that." So, okay, now all of a sudden he's admitting that he purposely hit the batter. Everybody who was at the ball game knew he purposely hit the batter. He did it with the first pitch. He plunked him right in the small of the back. He took a little bit off it, and that's what you do when you're sending a message to someone. Did Bryce Harper deserve to have a message sent to him? All he was doing was coming up to the plate and being 19 years old. But here's the rest of the story on that one. Bryce Harper worked his way around the bases, and when Cole Hamels threw a pitch over to first base to hold the runner, he broke for home plate and stole home. Okay, so you're going to hit me, I'm going to steal home on you. And it worked. So he scored the run. And then when Cole Hamels came up to bat in the third inning, he got plunked on the leg when he squared the bunt. The pitcher who hit him did not draw a 5-game suspension. But then again, the pitcher who hit him did not say, "Yeah, I meant to hit him." Everybody in the ballpark knew he meant to hit him. So here's my question on it is, what do you think? Is 5 games too much? Is it not enough? Or is it just right for Cole Hamels? Should he have gotten any kind of a suspension for admitting that he threw at a guy? I mean, how many pitchers have thrown at guys over the years and years and years of baseball? And basically, Hamels, the information I was reading about him is that he said, you know, hey, this is old-time baseball. This is what we do. You know, and nobody got hurt by it. He placed the pitch in the right place. Every baseball guy will tell you that they train batters when they're standing at the plate. If it comes inside, if you can't back off, if you can't get out of the way, turn your back to the pitch. Let it hit you in the fleshy part of your back. That's the best area to absorb something like that. So, you know, he did it the right way. He didn't go after his head. He didn't go after his arm. He didn't go after fingers or anything like that that could be injured. He plunked him. He just plunked him. He just gave him a friendly tap. His problem was that he said, "Yeah, I meant to do that." And he didn't show any remorse. Now, the pitcher from the Nationals who hit Cole Hamels in the third inning, you know darn well that he didn't just miss on that pitch. He was sending a message back to Cole. don't hit my guy. You hit my guy, I'm going to hit you. But there's no suspension. Now, the umpire did, at that point in the third inning, after Hamels was hit, he did warn both dugouts, and that was it. And everybody pretty much knew that that was going to be it. That was going to be the end of it. Nobody else was going to say anything. Nobody was going to hit anybody else. It was tit for tat. Everything was done. And now we'll go on and we'll play the rest of the baseball game. So, you know, that's my question for you. And you can call us up at 355-9527, 355-WKAR, or toll free if you're outside of the Lansing area. You can call 877-952-7870. That's 877-952-7870. And let us know, what do you think? Was five games, is that too much? Is it not enough, or is it just about right? We'll take a quick break, and we will come back with your phone calls and more. Coming up later on in the show will be Greg Iani. We'll talk about facilities here at Michigan State, but stay tuned. We'll have more sports talk after this short break on AM 870.
Yolanda Hunter used to hear people say it's time to put mom or dad in a home and think, how dare you?
Now I understand how people get to that last possible moment. It takes over your entire life.
With help from her own mom, Yolanda takes care of her aging grandmother full time. I'm Neil Conan, caring for our kids and our parents. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
Good afternoon. This is Scott Pohl, and here's a look at the weather. There's a chance of rain with partly sunny skies today. The high in the upper 60s. A chance of showers tonight, too, with a low in the upper 40s. Mostly cloudy Wednesday and a good chance of rain tomorrow with a high of 60. Sunny and a high of 65 Thursday.
Thank you very much, Scott, and welcome back to Sports Talk 870. The number again, 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can call toll-free 877-952-7870. That's 877-952-7870. We'll be talking with Greg Iani before too long. We are open line right now, so give us a call and express your opinion, whether it's about Cole Hamels and his suspension or anything else that's going on in the world of sports today. Tomorrow I will be back as well, and we're getting a pretty good show put together for you then. I will be talking with head hockey coach Tom Anastas tomorrow during the show. We're trying to catch up with Grand Ledge native Matt Green, who is headed toward the Western Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs with the Los Angeles Kings. So we're trying to catch up with him to talk with him tomorrow on the show, and then we'll be talking a little football tomorrow, but not fall football, summer football here in the Capital City with Rob Hontoon from the Capital City Stealth. That's all coming up tomorrow on the show. Some of the other things going on in the world of sports that I was taken with, we'll stay with baseball for a little bit. San Francisco Giants pitcher Guillermo Mota is in trouble. He's in big trouble. He has been suspended for testing positive for a banned substance for the second time in his career. This time it's 100 games. There will be 34 games left in the regular season when he is eligible to come off of the suspension. Tested positive for clenbuterol, which is not an anabolic steroid. It is actually more of a bronchodilator, they call it. It helps you breathe more, and it also can help your metabolism. So he's tested positive for that. There's a little bit more to the story, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, we go to the phones and say hi to Fred from East Lansing. Fred, how you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Good, good. What's on your mind?
Well, it just occurred to me that to give a pitcher 5 days to suspension is no suspension at all.
Basically.
You know, pitch for 4 days anyway.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he's not even going to miss a start.
I don't think so.
Nope, he's not going to miss a start because they've got a day off on Thursday, and they've got a pitcher coming off the DL who's going to slide in there, and he pitched on Sunday, and he'll pitch again on Saturday.
Yeah. You know, they talk
about. So, what do you think, though? Is a suspension warranted for something like that?
Oh yeah, because he bragged about it.
Mm-hmm.
He should have kept his mouth shut. But, you know, they talk about a shadow tag at second base.
Yeah.
Well, that was a shadow suspension.
Okay, that's a good way to put it, Fred.
Okay.
That's a real good way to put it.
Okay. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of something that somebody ought to bring up.
It's the suspension that isn't really a suspension.
Right. And I hope someone hadn't said that before, because I got to my phone just as you guys were.
No, you're the one who brought it up.
Okay.
But yeah, he is not going to miss a start.
Well, do something about Tiger hitting, and we'll accept you as Earl Robinson's substitute.
Oh, boy. If I could, I would, but you got to remember, I'm the guy who had a career batting average in Little League of 0.000.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I'm not going to be any help to those guys.
Evidently not.
All right. Good, Fred, thanks for listening. Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, you can call just like Fred did. The phone number is 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. That's the way that works out. The phone lines are wide open. Now, getting back to Guillermo Mota, you know, he's got more than a 5-game suspension. He's going to miss a couple of starts with a 100-game suspension for testing positive for clenbuterol. Now, his agent says that Mota took a children's cough syrup, and the children's cough syrup had clenbuterol in it. And that's why he tested positive for it. It was a trace amount. Now, clenbuterol, like I said, it's a bronchodilator. Some people are using it, I understand, as a weight loss agent because it can help to increase your metabolism and helps you burn fat while building muscle for whatever reason. That's just one of the side effects of this drug. Clenbuterol, I did a little bit of research into the drug itself. It's not an ingredient of any therapeutic drug that's approved by the United States Food and Drug Administration. So it's not in anything that goes through the U.S. FDA. But Guillermo Mota is a native of the Dominican Republic, so, you know, he may have picked up something at home and brought it back with him or whatever. You know, who knows where the children's cough syrup came from. But it's not, you can't find clenbuterol in anything in the United States. Also, you cannot find it in food in the United States. It is not approved. It's not legal to use it in animals that are sold as a food source. Okay, you can't, a rancher can't put it in his cows or his pigs or whatever to help them get more lean meat. That is something that happens around the world, I understand, but both the United States and the European Union ban it in anything that's sold for a food source. So you don't have that situation. Now, there was a situation in Mexico a few years ago where a soccer player tested positive for clenbuterol. He was able to prove that he got it through eating some meat that had clenbuterol fed to it. And he appealed his suspension and won the appeal. And there was a youth soccer team that had multiple players that tested positive, and they found out that that's what it was. And so they did not suspend them. However, if clenbuterol sounds familiar, if you follow the Tour de France, Alberto Contador was found to have clenbuterol in his system back in 2010, they stripped him of the Tour de France title because of clenbuterol. So a 100-game suspension for taking something that this guy supposedly got in a children's cough syrup. He is going to appeal the suspension. But as Paul Harvey used to say, now it's time for the rest of the story. Remember, I said this is his second suspension under Major League Baseball for testing positive for a banned substance. And some of the information that I found online was that his earlier ban was for testing positive for clenbuterol. That was back in the fall of 2006. He missed the first 50 games of 2007. So now this is, it's been 5 years. but this is the second time that he's tested positive for a banned substance. And understanding is that it's the second time he's tested positive for this particular banned substance. So now, does that change your feelings about whether he should be suspended for 100 days or not? I could see where you think, yeah, well, you know, he got it in a cough syrup that he got at home, maybe. And, you know, maybe, yeah, you know, okay, I could let that slide. But knowing that it's the second time, do you throw the book at him? Again, we want your phone calls, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-952-7870. That's a sticky wicket. This substance is banned by the Olympics. If Olympic athletes are found with clenbuterol, they are suspended. They are banned from the Olympics. The World Doping Agency has it on its list. This is tricky stuff. And you don't want to get into it. It is a banned substance. He was found with it. And as his agent did say, an athlete is responsible for what goes into his body, whether it's something that he takes by mistake or not. It's his bad if he puts it in. So we want to know how you feel about that. And, you know, so there's a couple of suspensions out there that we're talking about. There are some other stories in the sports world that caught my eye this morning. One of those is up in Minneapolis. You know, there's been a lot of talk about what's going to happen with the Minnesota Vikings. Are they still going to be the Minnesota Vikings? Their lease at the Metrodome, or I believe it's now called the Mall of America Stadium, the lease is expiring at the end of this season, and they are free to go wherever they want to go because they won't have a stadium deal in Minneapolis or in the state of Minnesota. So there have been a lot of people up in Minnesota that have been fretting and stewing about this whole thing. You know, could you imagine the NFL without the Minnesota Vikings? Could you imagine going to Los Angeles to play the LA Vikings? I mean, you know, it still sounds weird to me to be playing the Arizona Cardinals and the St. Louis Rams, because I grew up in the days of the L.A. Rams and the St. Louis Cardinals. But the L.A. Vikings, that just doesn't sound right to me. Well, it looks like they may have a deal in Minneapolis. They may have a deal for a new stadium. The State House passed a bill last night for the construction of a $975 million stadium. That's a lot of cheese up there in Minneapolis. $975 million for a football stadium. But on that deal, this is a deal that was brokered between the state and the governor's office, and the governor had it that the team would be responsible for, I think it was, $427 million of the $975 million fee. So the team was good with that they'll kick in that much. And, you know, they're going to make that money back on their ticket sales, on their concession sales, on their, you know, just having the team there and, you know, all of the things that go along. I mean, these NFL teams pretty much are making money hand over fist with this stuff. So they're going to make that money back. Well, the State House passed a bill, but they put an addendum on the bill that raises the amount that the team has to contribute to $532 million, an additional $105 million that they're asking the team to put in. That's 55% of the total cost of the stadium. The state's going to make some money on this stadium, too, because you've got the local economic impact of having 8 football games there per year with the amount of money that it brings into the Minneapolis area, the ticket sales, the taxes, you know, all of that stuff. So there's all kinds of advantages for the state of having this team, but they're asking the team to chip in more than half of the cost of the new stadium. So do you think that's fair? You can give us a call at 355-9527, or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870 and discuss your opinion. What do you think? Is it good to have football in Minneapolis?
And would it change your mind if they're making an open-air stadium like they did with their baseball team instead of a dome stadium? Is it wise to have an open-air stadium in Minneapolis where you're playing games well into December and now even into January and into February possibly, depending on whether they add extra games to the season? To have an open-air stadium in Minneapolis, everybody was happy about having a dome stadium there, and now they're talking about moving out of a dome stadium outdoors like the Twins did with Target Field. That's an outdoor stadium, so would it be wise to do that? Or does that just bring back the mystique of the Vikings? Everyone remembers the NFL Films footage of the Vikings on the sidelines without the heaters going and all the vapor coming out of the mouths as they breathe on those chilly Sunday mornings, getting ready for football games. It's just unbelievable times and unbelievable video of those teams. But that's what it means to be a Minnesota Viking. So you can give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-952-7870 to talk about any of those topics or anything else that might be on your mind as far as the world of sports is concerned. We will go back to the phones right now and say hi to Todd from Lake Orion. Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. It's a beautiful afternoon in mid-Michigan, huh?
It certainly is. And here I'm stuck indoors.
Well, I don't think for a whole lot longer, all right? We got another couple hours or what?
We got another 23 minutes.
Well, I think you'll be able to stick that out.
It might be tough, but I'll hang in there.
I'm glad you brought up a couple NFL-related issues. I'm all for the Minnesota Vikings playing their football outdoors. I know a lot of people love Ford Field. I don't particularly. I understand that it's a nice place. It allows the Ford family to make a lot of money with concerts and other revenues. But to me, it's like playing football in a movie theater. I can appreciate it for what it is. But as far as an NFL football venue, maybe I'm old school, but I don't need a 100 million square inch TV to enjoy the game. I don't need piped in music. I don't need skyboxes. I need two teams out there ready to play football, fans ready to watch them. I guess that may be naive. I understand everything now is about figuring out a way to squeeze every nickel out of every fan's pocket that you possibly can. And if they walk out with more than two quarters to rub together, you didn't do your job. I understand that's the mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Most sports, and I think it's seeping down to the collegiate level as well, but I really do. I think that it's kind of embarrassing that the Chicago Bears can play football outside. Green Bay can play football outside.
Yep.
It appears that the Vikings are now going to do it, and yet in Detroit we can't do it. I don't understand that mentality.
Again, there's a lot of northern climes that do it. Buffalo does it.
Well, except for what is it about? What I just said, it's about making money. I mean, obviously you can have concerts, you can... You know, obviously they got a new Super Bowl this last time because they built a new stadium and such. But to go along that same line of thinking, and it didn't have anything to do with the outcome, I think that the Big Ten football championship should be played outside. I really do. I can appreciate what Lucas Oil Stadium is to an extent, but to me it's football in a movie theater. It just isn't, quote-unquote, what I perceive as football.
I'd like to see him take that game up to Chicago and play it outdoors at Soldier Field.
Well, yeah, or, you know, whatever team, you know, has the best record. You know, I mean, I think that's what the Pac-10 does, don't they? It's actually a home game for the team that has the best interconference record, and I understand there would be times that you might need to go to a tiebreaker or head-to-head matchup, but I think Michigan State played football well enough in the Big Ten that they earned the right to have that football game at home last year, don't you?
Well, it would be interesting to look at that because every league seems to be going away from having a home field advantage for one team or another, and it is a big advantage to be able to play that game at home.
Well, yeah, but you play the games to win the games, and if you win the games, you should get an advantage, shouldn't you?
Yeah, I see your point. I see your point exactly. But I think that the way that it's being marketed, and again, we're getting away from the product on the field and going into the marketing end of it, but the way that it's marketed is, plan on spending a weekend away from home, come down, celebrate Big Ten football at Lucas Oil Stadium and make a full weekend out of it. I'm never saying never on something like that because, there was a situation there where, if you remember, there were a lot of people, I believe, from Nebraska that had pre-bought tickets for that Big Ten championship game and then wound up trying to move them at the last minute when their team didn't make it.
Yeah, certainly. But like I said, the one little asterisk on that is the weekend is, don't forget to bring your checkbook and your credit card.
Yeah.
Come on now. They want
That's
everybody
true.
To pony up, like I said, and squeeze you for every little nickel. And if, like I said, if they don't get it, they feel they didn't do their job. Now, quickly, I'd like to change, and obviously the Junior Seau thing was a tragedy on so many levels. To me, the first and most important is now there are two children or a couple children that don't have a father.
Yep.
And an ex-wife. I don't know his personal life greatly, but to me, that's the greatest tragedy is that a man took his life and now a family has been fractured. And I've heard a lot of talk about, the concussion syndrome in the NFL and what the loss is, this and that. But I think there's a lot of double talk out of a lot of fans' mouths to the extent. I think we can all relate to an extent what these players go through, the aches and pains and how hard it is and what it does to them. But let me ask you, how many Lions fans, and we know that the documented issues of Jahbed Best and his concussions, and then this is a real issue. He may either play or not play. But this is my question to you. Obviously, we can understand what it does to these players later, but let's just say the Lions step in and say, hey, Jahbed, we don't think it's in your best interest physically, financially, for you to play. We're not going to allow you to play for the Lions. And let's say he didn't play next year for the Lions, and they lost maybe two or three football games because he didn't play. These same fans that are clamoring for these players and their safety and the better equipment and the concussions, that's easy to do. But if your football team maybe loses two or three less games because one of your guys is held out or forced to quit, I got a feeling a lot of them will change their tune. A lot of them won't come out and say that. But let's say Matthew Stafford got rung up this year and he's had injury problems and issues. And let's say the NFL steps in and says, hey, given what this lawsuit could be, given what this, medical issues, we're gonna have him sit out. We're gonna suspend him or take him out of games. People are all supportive now. Until it's your team and until you're losing football games, then I got to feel a lot of these fans, all of a sudden their compassion and all their talk about we got to do right by the players will change if their team starts losing football games.
Todd, I can see where you're going with that, and I do thank you for the call, but I can see where you're going on it, but I gotta wish at least that the fans would realize when you're dealing with a concussion, you're dealing with something that's much more serious than another body part. You're dealing with a brain on that one, and it would not surprise me that a team would hold out somebody like a Jahbed Best in that situation. And look what the Pittsburgh Penguins did with Sidney Crosby. Even here at Michigan State, Matt Grassi got a concussion early on in January in a hit with against Miami and didn't play in another game for the rest of the season because he was still suffering from some of these post-concussive symptoms. So the concussions, those are things that they just don't mess around with, and I for one applaud all of the medical professionals for erring on the side of caution when you're dealing with an injury of that sort. It is now 1:44. We're a little bit late for a break, and when we come back from the break, we'll be talking with Deputy Athletics Director Greg Iani. So stay with us. We've got more coming up on Sports Talk after this short break right here on WKAR AM 870.
On PBS, Henry Louis Gates Jr. traced Oprah's roots and his own with a swab of DNA. At the White House, he sat down at the Beer Summit with the police officer who arrested him on his front porch. Now, 35 years of Gates' writing on race, politics, and culture compiled in a new book, I'm Neil Conan. Skip Gates joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
Our weather forecast is calling for a partly sunny day with a chance of some rain and a high in the upper 60s. A chance of showers tonight, an overnight low of 49 degrees. Tomorrow, the high about 60 degrees, mostly cloudy and a good chance of rain Wednesday. Sunny Thursday with a high in the mid-60s. I'm Scott Pohl.
Thank you, Scott, and welcome back to Sports Talk 870. The phone number is 355-9527, or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. Joined now on the phone by the Deputy Athletics Director at Michigan State University, Greg Iani. And, boy, you talk about being busy. We've had the construction on Old College Field for the last few years, the renovations to the Breslin Center, and now new scoreboards going in at Spartan Stadium. You are one of the busiest guys on campus, Greg. It always helps if you press the button. Greg, are you there?
I am here.
There, now you're on. You are one of the busiest guys on campus.
Yeah, it's this is my time of year, you know, me and my staff. And, you know, we have to do things in between seasons, and that's this is our season to get that done, so we're ready for the season in the fall.
Now, the one that everybody sees, the one that's on the everybody's lips right now is the scoreboard project at the stadium. That has begun. What's the timetable? When should things be wrapping up and the testing begin on that?
Well, we're supposed to have everything in place by August 1st, and we fully anticipate that you know, we'll meet that, and then we'll have a month to shake it out and you know, test it, play with it a little bit, you know, make sure that our graphics packages are what we want and that it will look the way we want it to look on the night we play Boise State.
Well, and it's not just the visuals, too. There's a whole new sound system that goes along with that thing, too. It's going to sound different in the stadium.
Yeah, it's going to sound a lot different, Scott. It'll be a whole new perspective of sight and sound in the facility, which should make it a lot more fun for our fans. Just add another level of fan experience, I guess you would say. You know, for the folks attending the game. So I'm excited about it, Scott. It's you know, we've worked hard on it. We've done a lot of studying on it. A lot of people over here have, not just me. And I think the product that we're going to have in there is really going to be exciting for Spartan fans.
Well, and one of the nice things that's going on, you've got the big scoreboard at the south end replacing the previously big scoreboard, and this is going to be much, much larger. But at the north end, with the lower end of the stadium there, the selling point has always been being able to look over the Red Cedar River and the campus and all that if you're sitting on the right side of the stadium. And so you've put some scoreboards up there, but you've put them on the corners so that you still have that view available.
Yeah, exactly, Scott. We've got a board in the northeast corner, northwest corner, and then something very unique to college athletics is we've got a ribbon board, if you will, that goes along the rim of the bowl of the north end of the stadium, and it goes from corner to corner of the bowl, about the same height as the old scoreboard was down there that we just took out. So it's about 10 feet high. It's 450 feet long. And that will be a perspective, you know, if you think about it, it's like the video ring, or it's like the fascia ring in the Breslin Center facing the upper deck on steroids. I mean, this thing it's massive. And it does video. It does all sorts of things. So we're only limited on that by our imagination. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things that we're going to have to get in there and test and play and experiment with things to see what we can do, what we can't do, what's good and what isn't good. But that's really exciting because it's going to provide a whole new perspective in the stadium. And you're right, it still allows that view over the rim into campus.
Mm-hmm. And the people that are sitting at the south end of the stadium will actually be able to see replays on the two video boards at the north end.
That's correct. And to put it in perspective, each of those boards Scott, is about three times the size of the old video board.
Mm-hmm.
They're about 1,600 square feet. The old video board was a little over 500 square feet. So each one of those is three times the size of what we had in there. And then the board at the south end is about 10 times the size of the video that we had in there before. So we've got, just to kind of put it in perspective, the board at the south end, the big board, is if you took the Michigan State basketball floor in the Breslin Center
mm-hmm.
and put that up about 100 feet up in the air, that's the size of the video board will be in Spartan Stadium.
Wow.
So that kind of gives you a little perspective. So,
yeah, that's big.
That's big.
And
you know, it's just going to allow us to do so many things. And that's important. I mean, we're charging a lot of money to go to our games. And our fans have been to Comerica. They've been to Ford Field. They've been to the Palace. There's an expectation now that when you go to sports venues, you're going to have these kinds of facilities
mm-hmm.
to be entertained. And we have to do that. That's, you know, and just to increase the value of that season ticket.
One of the other things that I know is still in the planning stages, I believe, at Spartan Stadium, the additions that have been talked about being made to the north end zone, the team meeting spaces, recruiting meeting spaces. There was a published piece that came out to season ticket holders earlier this spring that talked about the plans for doing that. Now, where does that project stand?
Well, Chuck Sleeper, who's our Senior Associate Athletic Director for Development in the Spartan Fund, is actively pursuing donors on that project, and he's been pretty darn successful on it. So he's off and running on the fundraising piece, he and Mark Hollis, and I'm getting an initial design for that space. In fact, I'll have the initial design tomorrow that we've been working on. So our intent is to move this thing forward, paralleling it with the fundraising program. And when the money's in place, we'll get that ball rolling. And I would anticipate that with the success that Chuck and Mark are having on the fundraising side, that it won't be too much longer. We'll be asking the president and eventually the board for approval.
We're talking with Greg Ianni, the the deputy athletic director at Michigan State University. And Greg, we've got a caller who has a question for you. Jerry from Hazlitt is on the line. Jerry, how you doing?
Pretty good, Scott. Enjoying this particular topic. Mr. Ianni, I don't want to hit this one too hard, but first of all, I want to thank University for expanding that. And I think I speak for a lot of Spartan football fans for expanding the scoreboard. I don't know. I don't know if anybody was circling the wagon, but it certainly is a step forward. But having said that, we all know the sensitivity of replaying controversial calls
mm-hmm.
and close plays. I'm wondering, given the huge expansion of that, if that particular policy, and if you know what that is, by the way, something that's escaped most of us, maybe it's a judgment call on an individual basis, but first of all, what is, to the extent that you know it, the policy for what's going to be replayed and what isn't, and do you think the enhanced visual is going to affect that either way?
That's a good question, Jerry. Yeah, I do know the rule and very well. The Big Ten rule is that you can play replay every play one time at game speed. Mark and I have talked about this extensively, and it's both of our feelings that it's not really fair for the people in the stadium not to have the same ability to see what the people at home are seeing. And if you have the technology, you ought to be able to provide it. So Mark is actively pursuing a change in that rule at the Big Ten level, because let's face it, they replay every play anyways. So there's really no such thing as a controversial play anymore, because they're going to replay it and mm-hmm. review it and get it right. So our sense is, from a customer service standpoint, is that good grief, if you know you're paying that kind of money to come to our games and we have the capability to show replays, why shouldn't we give you as a fan the same replay opportunity when you're sitting in Spartan Stadium as you would have if you were sitting at home and on your couch? So
I couldn't phrase it better, Mr. Ann.
Okay.
I think you've just nailed it on the head, and I thank you for articulating that, because trying to stay ahead of technology is a fruitless endeavor, and all of us have gone home after having been to a game, especially in Spartan Stadium at night for the last couple of years. And, you know, there is a lag, and I appreciate you and Coach D'Antonio being forthright and, forward-thinking in that regard.
Right.
Well, yeah, and it's Director Hollis is leading the charge on that one. So, and you know what, I think common sense in this one is going to dictate where we go. I mean, everybody in the conference has this technology or is going to end up with this technology in the next couple years. So, you know, it's kind of silly not to be able to use it.
All right, Jerry, thank you very much for the call. And, Greg, we have one more caller on the line. We got just a couple of minutes to take care of it. John from Holt is with us. John, how you doing?
Hey, Mr. Ryan. Actually, originally I'm from Okemos, but I live in Holt now. So, anyway, I watched your son play several times in high school, and I read a story in the State Journal this past weekend about your son having autism. I never knew that until I read the story. So I just wanted to say congratulations to him for all that he's persevered to make it as far as he's made it. I think that's an incredible story and accomplishment for your son. And I just wanted to wish him well in his future endeavors, whatever he chooses to do. So I guess that's basically what I wanted to say today.
John, thanks for the call.
John, thank you. That means a lot to me. We had a very emotional weekend. Anthony graduated on Saturday morning and with a degree in sociology, and he's had quite a journey. He's had a lot of help, and it says a lot, really a lot about him, but a lot about Michigan State, about Tom Izzo and his program and our academic support system, and not only in athletics but university-wide. So he is a true Spartan success story, and I really appreciate you making those comments. It's very nice.
Hey, absolutely. My degree is also in sociology, so I find that pretty ironic. That's great. Congratulations, and again, good luck to your son, and thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate talking with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, John. And Greg, I would echo that it says a lot about the job that you and your wife have done raising Anthony. He's a great, great kid.
Yeah, he is. Thanks, Scott. He's a great young man, and I tell you what, he's a great Spartan, and he will be an unbelievable ambassador for this institution forever.
You bet. Now, we've got just a couple of minutes left, and I can't let you get out of here before addressing the hockey situation. I know you guys have been talking about making the decision as to whether it's going to be a renovation or a new arena, and there are reasons for both. I guess Mark mentioned last week that it looks like it's leaning towards renovation. Is there any update?
No, not from what Mark said last week. So we're just kind of, we're going to give it another couple weeks. Scott, I know he had mentioned that there is a donor, that our potential donor that we were talking to, just we're kind of waiting for that shoe to drop, and then we're prepared to move either way. But the reason it's so critical, as you well know, as close as you are to the hockey program, mm-hmm. that we've got, if we're going to stay in Munn Arena, we've got to get the ice system replaced,
right?
Because after 2015 the EPA says we can't use that material to cool ice anymore. So that's what's pressing us to make this decision pretty quick. And I'll say this, whatever direction we go, it's going to be impressive, really impressive.
That's what I've been telling people, is that I know firsthand that whatever you do, you and Mark Hollis and everybody over at Jennison Fieldhouse, it's going to be done first class.
I appreciate that.
All right. Greg Ianni, thank you very much for taking some time this afternoon to join us here.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. That's Greg Ianni, the Deputy Athletic Director at Michigan State University. And thank you for joining in and listening and for calling the show. And thanks to Aaron Young on the other side of the glass for keeping things going. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock on AM 870. Come back and join us tomorrow. Have yourself a safe and pleasant evening, and I'll hear from you tomorrow on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Mm-hmm.
from NPR News in Washington.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.